Hi, this is Mike. Thank you for being a part of what God's doing at the Heights Fellowship. We hope you enjoy this message. We know it's not the same thing as being here in person, but we pray that God would move as you listen and as God applies this to your heart.
Mike and Linnell are taking some much needed time away. They're actually halfway across the world, floating on a boat in the Adriatic Sea. So, as you think about that, as you hear news across the world, realize your pastor and his wife are with close friends who are traveling and having a wonderful time enjoying each other during this time. So, but continue to pray for them so that they get back, so that I don't have to be up here every Sunday for the next several weeks. So, you know, we don't want them to be delayed. He sends me his messages for the 9th and the 16th, just in case. And I said, I thought you were going to come back on the 2nd. And he said, well, you know, you never know how travel is in this world. And so, anyway, we're prepared for the next several weeks, no matter what happens. Everything matters. The next 2 weeks, we're going to do a little short series in between Mike's teaching that we've been doing the last several weeks. And I think it's something we all need to hear and understand about the concept, the truth, that everything we do, everything we say, everything we think matters. It's important. Elaine Rogers Harrell. Most of you in this room don't know her. I'm probably the only one in this room that knows who that is. But Elaine Rogers Harrell is a friend of mine. She passed away about 3 weeks ago. While we were attending her service back in Graham, the pastor began talking about her and some of the things that she set as a mantra in her life, something that she lived by, that she told her family often. And that phrase was, everything matters. Something would come up, another circumstance, another challenge would come up in her life, and she would repeat to them, everything matters. And the more I listened to that pastor that day talking about Elaine, I'm going, you know, that's right, everything does matter. I had a different plan for this week, but I changed it after hearing that because God spoke to my heart that everything does matter. You know, and the opportunity to share that and the example that Elaine lived out in her life was important because 22 years ago, she was with me on a retreat and started feeling bad when she got back after the weekend retreat. She ended up having an aneurysm. I was standing with her husband and her two daughters thinking, they're thinking, I'm praying with them. And her husband, Charles, is telling his daughters, I'm not sure Mom's going to make it. She got 22 more years to make a difference in the lives of people and to share this concept of everything matters. Colossians 3, 1 through 4, 6 is going to be our text for the next 2 weeks. Because in this passage, we're going to see multiple things that cause us to point toward the idea that everything matters. And we're going to work our way through that this morning. But before we do that, I want to read that passage. If you have your Bible in hand, turn there. If you have your device that you like to look at, turn there. But we're going to read this passage because I want you to hear God's word read over you and listen for those opportunities, those examples that Paul states to the Christians at Colossae about how everything matters. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead, to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked, when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge, according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free man. But Christ is all and in all. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is in the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom and teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Wives, be subject to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children, so that they will not lose heart. Slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service, as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord, rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong, which he has done, and that without partiality. Masters, grant to your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master in heaven. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Today we're going to look at six things from that passage, and then next week we're going to pick up six more about why everything matters. The first thing is in verse 1 there. It shows us what we should be seeking, what our purpose is, what we should be pointing toward and pursuing. It says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So that gives us direction. It gives us a purpose. As followers of Christ, we have a purpose. We should be seeking things above and not things of the earth. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 6, 33 and 34. He said, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Get an amen on that one? Yeah. Jesus is saying the same thing that Paul has said, that we looked at here in Colossians. Romans 15:18. For I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed. See, that was Paul's purpose. He never wavered from that. From the Damascus Road till his 3 years away in Arabia, getting prepared for his ministry to take the gospel to the world, that was his purpose. It was to honor Christ, to honor God by pursuing the things above as most important. See, Jesus, in his words, did you notice he said, seek my kingdom first. All these other things that we worry about, that we think about, that we spend a lot of time pursuing and seeking, those things will come. But make pursuing me your purpose. So here's your question of application. When you see the green, for those of you who are colorblind, ask your wife which one is green. But when you see green, that's a question for you to ponder, for you to consider as we progress through this message this morning. But what are you pursuing with purpose? Consider that question. Process it. Are you pursuing things above? Because what you're seeking matters. Okay? Second thing is our thoughts. There in Colossians 3:2. Set your mind on the things above. See, that's where our thoughts initiate. That's where they're created, is in our mind, based upon what we see, what we know. But that's where they start. Paul's telling the Colossians, set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. That's important. It matters what we're thinking about. Paul said to the Corinthians, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Those were some strong instruction from Paul, because at the point of us thinking things, whether we're wrestling with, do I do this and that's probably sin, or do I do this and that's going to honor God, at that point of the thought process is where we're going to make some choices. We're going to make some decisions based on what we're thinking. And if we set our mind on God, things of the kingdom first, then we can honor him and what that choice is going to be. But for all of us who are followers of Christ, at that moment, we have a decision to make when we're wrestling with that thought. And so Paul tells the Corinthians, we are taking every thought captive. In other words, don't let it get away. Don't let it run around in your head. Take it captive. How does it match up what I'm thinking with God's word, what Jesus has said? So the question of application there is, what ideas, circumstances, people, and plans consume your daily thoughts? So you can evaluate yourself with your own thought life. What's consuming my thoughts each and every day? And you can process that. What do I need to take captive from those thoughts and begin pursuing God in that situation? Because what you consistently think about matters. It really does. Because your thoughts turn into actions eventually. Time. Over in verse 23 and 24 that we just read, Paul says to the Galatians, whatever you do, do your work. And I think that work, he meant very specifically work. Okay, but I think for us, we can put a blank in there and we can put in whatever you do, do your leisure heartily. Do your free time. Do your other pursuits besides work. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. Do you see the conflict there that Paul understands about these different churches? Am I doing this for God, or am I doing this for man or a group of people? Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. It's not your job who you serve. Shouldn't be. As a follower of Christ, you should be serving the Lord within the context of your work, your play, and do it heartily. That's what Paul is telling the Galatians there with the time. Jesus said it this way in John 9:4-5, we must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus knew his time was short. He had a purpose. His purpose was to go to the cross, give his life for us so that we could have a relationship with him and spend eternity with him in heaven. That was his purpose. His whole life was pointing toward that, to be the Redeemer for what mankind had done. So he reminds us how important our time is. He's reminding his disciples right there how important our time is. Because we can only do that while we're here, okay? In the day, as Jesus says. While we have time allotted to us, we can accomplish things of the kingdom. But that's all we have. That's it. Ecclesiastes, very famous verse, spreads it out for us, gives us different situations. There's an appointed time for everything. There's a time for every event under heaven. A time to give birth, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to uproot what is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to tear down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. Unless you were Baptist and you were taught you're not supposed to dance. A time to throw stones, and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace, and a time to shun embracing. A time to search, and a time to give up as lost. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear apart, and a time to sew together. A time to be silent, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. Solomon understood that. The Bible says he was the wisest man who ever lived. He understood the importance of time. All of this can fit in. There's a time for specific things. Our time matters. James said it this way. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. Nothing wrong with making plans. Nothing wrong with pursuing things. We've already talked about that, what we should be seeking and pursuing. But we don't know the time we have. We have no idea. So that's why Jesus said, while there's day, while we're here, while we have opportunity, we should make good choices about our time. So that question, what motivates, okay, process that word, what motivates the decisions about how you spend your time? You know, when I'm sitting and watching the final series of the College World Series this weekend, I'm really not thinking about things above. I'm thinking about watching good baseball. But if I'm presented with an opportunity to think and to act on things of above, even while I'm doing something that I'm pursuing, I can change direction. My time matters. So, how you spend your time really does matter. I'm really good at wasting it. Sometimes we need rest and know the difference, okay? Sometimes we just need to sit That's not wasting time. That's being healthy, just resting. There's other times I'm doing stuff that matters toward nothing. So I need to consider that. What's motivating how I spend my time? Because how you spend your time matters. Truth. Colossians 3, 9 and 10, as we just read. Do not lie to one another. Truth matters. Since you laid aside the old self, you're a different person now, with its evil practices, and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge. Being renewed is a process. Okay? We understand that word. When you renew something, you keep it going. So when Paul writes that word and we see that word in English, it's an ongoing process. We're being renewed to true knowledge because truth matters. Okay? And there's really, as a follower of Christ, there's only one truth. Jesus said this, as he spoke these things, many came to believe him. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, there's the first instruction, what I've said to you, then you are truly disciples of mine. So listening and following after what Jesus was teaching them proved they were disciples of his. They were following the master. They were following the teacher. Then he goes on to say, and you will know the truth. If you listen to what I tell you and you keep following me, you're going to know what the truth is. See, because some of us wrestle with, really, what is truth? You know, my truth may be different than somebody else's truth. The truth of God is an unchangeable standard. Okay? And our world bombards us with all kinds of potential truths that aren't true if you're pursuing God's kingdom. And he goes on to say, when you know that truth will set you free. We all want to be in that freedom, in that life of grace that allows us to follow Christ. But it's based on a standard of truth. Truth matters. What standard of truth is the basis for your life choices as you respond to life's challenges and opportunities? See, that's what it sifts down to. What are you using as your standard? Are you coming back to God's word as that standard? Or are you coming to a political party as that standard? Or a social belief as your standard? As what somebody else said as your standard? So we have to determine that. As a follower of Christ, there should be one standard of what truth is. What you said as a standard of truth matters. Words matter. You know, sometimes when I'm telling my wife something and she'll use an incorrect word that totally changes the meaning of what she's trying to tell me, and I'll correct her. I say, don't you mean this? She goes, whatever. Well, what she said and what she meant to say, two totally different things, because words matter. They really do. Paul said this, verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, which words lead to deeds, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So when we're making big choices in our life, important choices in our life, the words we use, how we respond and react to people, those words we use matter. They're not just whatever. Colossians 4:6 said, let your speech always be with grace. You know, sometimes people remind me that what I just said to them wasn't very graceful. See, and I forget what the standard is. when I do that. When I hurt people with my words, I forget the standard. The standard is let your speech always be with grace. Not sometimes, not when things are good, not when you feel like it. As followers of Christ, our speech should always be with grace because words matter. As though seasoned with salt so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Okay? Because our words are always directed toward another person. Ephesians 4:29. Let no unwholesome word, zero, nada, proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, that's building up, that's encouraging, according to the need of the moment. Very specific in each moment. We have moments that cross our paths each and every day that are different, unique situations. What Paul's telling them, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth except those that build up in those very specific situations so that it will give grace to those who hear it. Words matter. Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. See, it goes back to what we're doing, what we're saying, what we're thinking. It should all be to honor God. That's the end. That's the goal. Proverbs 18:21 says this, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Man, I mean, that's tough to hear the truth of that, the wisdom. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. Because I don't always think about how my words are affecting somebody else. Often my words that come out of my mouth are based on my emotion or my stance, my position on something. I don't think about how that other person is going to receive them. But it should be with grace because ultimately it has the power of life and death. How do your words either build up or tear down the ones with which you have the most influence? Your spouse, your family, the people you work with, your neighbors. See, those are the people that you're around all the time, you have the most influence with. We should always consider that our words matter with those people that we have the most influence with. What speech comes from your mouth matters. The last thing, number six, God's word matters. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ, which our word of Christ is in this book. We have it. We can refer to it. We can obey it. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Live within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. But as he's telling the Colossians, he's saying the words of Christ matter. They need to richly dwell in you. They need to inhabit your life, your thoughts, your speech, your actions. Because it's the standard of truth. Ephesians 6:17b, this is the armor of God chapter. And this is right at the end of all the protective armor that Paul talks about. The helmet and the shield, the shin guard, the belt of truth, all these things that are protective items for us that are important. But then at the end of that little range of concepts of protecting yourself, he says, in the word of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And that's important because we can go on the offensive with the Word of God. Mike's been talking about this spiritual battle that we're all in. He's been defining it for us in great depth. Both sides, angels, demons, all of this. Well, we're in the midst of that. We're doing battle in the midst of that. And our offensive weapon is the sword. About 3 or 4 months ago, I had a gentleman come into my office who wanted to visit. And he really needed to just share some things about his life. And he'd experienced some really dark things. He had done some really dark things. And as we talked through that, the Holy Spirit just prompted me to share this passage. Okay? We talked about, because his background was military. And so we talked about the armor of God and the importance of that. And he left. And he calls me on Wednesday this week. Says, I need to come see you again. Okay, come on. Well, he comes to the door and he's carrying this. And went, man, I must have really messed up 3 or 4 months ago. It's not often you go to the door and somebody's holding a sword. But he came in and he sat down in my office and he said, I want to give this to you. So I look at it and went, man, that's pretty cool. He says, well, it's not just a cool gift I give you. He said, that you telling me that the Word of God is a sword that I can do battle with saved my life. He was at the point of ending his life when he came to visit me 3 or 4 months ago. So God's Word matters big time. It can hold the power of death and life. It's important. It matters. Psalms 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It's one of my favorite verses in Scripture because I can go to God's word to make a decision about tomorrow, my next step. To my feet, what step to take. But it also tells me it's a light into my path where I'm going. It gives me direction consistently, daily, monthly, yearly. Good verse to memorize. Do the ingested words of the Bible impact the way you respond and react to the circumstances and people who affect your life? Because as far as of Christ, it should. God's word should be so indwelt in us that in those circumstances that we're presented with, that's what comes out. It's not what Randy thinks. I'm not very smart. But God's word has the power of life and death. As we do battle, as we encourage, as we challenge, as we teach. What God's word says matters. So, why does everything matter? Because. Isn't that what you tell your kids? Just because. No, but the real reason it matters is because everyone matters. Everyone matters. And next week, from this same passage, that's what we're going to look at. Why people matter. And I had to put a note up there at the bottom of the screen so I would remind myself to say this. Because I have a Swiss cheese brain at my advanced age, and sometimes things just slip through. Next week, we have one service at 9:30. Okay, this time. So if you're here now and this is your regular service, you'll be right on time. Your friends who attend the 11 o'clock service, they need to hear that. And so everything matters connects naturally to everyone matters. Because everything we do, everything we think, everything we say, some way, somehow affects the people in our lives. And we're going to look at those six things next week.
Well, thank you for being a part of what God's doing here at the Heights Fellowship. If the Lord led you to make a decision or you have a question or a need, we want to hear from you. Send us an email at the email listed below, info@theheightsfellowship.org. And we will join you in praying as you take a step forward on your journey with God.